I've arrived at Leyland with some concepts for how we might resolve problems. I've arrived with some basic philosophies, particularly the philosophy that we've got to involve people down the line and decentralize. I do not believe in centralization for the sake of it. Do I have some inner feel for how we might do things? Yes, the answer is yes. Would it be premature to disclose some of these views at this point? The answer to that is yes, too.
Michael Edwards, a few hours after his appointment, forceful but also careful about his plans for when he takes over one of the hottest jobs in British industry. His salary is reported to be about £50,000, but unlike his predecessor, Sir Richard Dobson, who resigned after his tape-recorded after-dinner speech, he has executive power to run the company. I asked Victor Keegan, industrial editor of The Guardian, the newspaper, incidentally, who voted Mr. Edwards' most promising businessman of the year in 1975, how he thought the new man was likely to cope.
Well, he's certainly an ambitious person, and he's obviously very capable on his track record. He's turned the Chloride Group from a fairly dozy company into a thrusting one, making very large profits. And until this year, virtually without a strike. It had a slight setback this year. And during the last 2 years, he's been a director of the National Enterprise Board, and so he's been involved in government politics. He's seen all the main Leyland papers. He's been involved in the major Leyland decisions, so he certainly knows what he's taking on and thinks he can do it.
Graham Turner, who's author of the book The Leyland Papers and closer than many outsiders to the inner workings of the company, thinks Mr. Edwards' first job may be a management shake-up.
It is a fact that although the people who are there have worked very hard indeed, that morale right through the management of the organisation and indeed on the shop floor is rock bottom. And one of Edwards' first main jobs will be to remoralise a very demoralised organisation. I mean that in the broadest sense.
Would their demoralisation go as far, do you think, as feeling that they are belonging to a doomed company, that it can't possibly succeed?
I do think that feeling has begun to spread. I mean, even people in the company will tell you that there's almost a kind of death wish there. And I think his first job, really, is to kill that feeling, if one can kill a death wish, and to give the whole company the feeling that it can make it. And that may have to go along with very substantial changes in organisation, because for a company that's winning only 24-25% of the British car market at the moment, it's far, far too big, far, far too widely spread, so that major changes are required there. And the prospect, actually, at the moment, rather sadly, is that that market share will decline further. So I think if he's going to make any kind of fist of it at all, he's going to have to make major changes right through the organisation. And I just hope he's empowered to do that.
If he does have that power, it will probably be founded in contacts he's made with the government, and more particularly with the National Enterprise Board, of which he's been a director. Victor Keegan.
Now, he's always had sort of national ambitions in the sense that he's been very concerned about the level of investment in British industry. He's concerned about low productivity. As Chloride, his own company, has expanded both in Britain and abroad, he's been able to make international comparisons. I mean, he sees a site at one of his factories in Europe or in America and sees it has far higher productivity than that factory in this country, and he sets about trying to change it, trying to bring British productivity up to the level of his overseas subsidiaries. And this sort of problem in Leyland can only produce results.
When Michael Edwards tucks himself behind his desk at Leyland's next Tuesday, he knows he has the executive power, but he's also aware that morale boosting is a major priority, and so is the job of producing more competitive cars.
There have been a number of people who've been appointed chairman of British Leyland, and there are managing directors and heads of car divisions, but you have a feeling that they've left the organisation very much as it is, with, after all, mass market models that are very, very far from successful, and certainly are not going to hold up until their replacements appear. The new Mini in 1980 and the replacement for the Allegro Marina in 1982. The organisation has just drifted on, and I don't think that can go on much longer.